month of Ramadan had approximately 100 days. Just like the Day of Judgment has actually more than 100 days in our Islamic teachings. But the month of Ramadan has approximately 100 names. And each of those names is very
important and significant for us to pay attention. So this month, fasting has been made wajib on us, the way it was kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, the way it was made wajib on those, in other words, made fariva, in other words, on those who were before us. And the end result that we are expected to achieve is la'allakum tattaqoon. And taqwa is derived from the Arabic word of wiqaya, literally speaking, which is the shield. In old days, they used to wear the shield to keep away the arrows, the swords, the attack of the enemies. So this taqwa is the nur in our soul, which is the malakatun nafsaniya in our soul that blocks away the attacks of shaitan and our desires. So we have the power at every intersection of our life. We have where we face our desires and satanic attacks. We have the power to care about Allah. We have the power to remember Allah at all times. This is what taqwa does. Because when we remember Allah and we care about Allah, we will give preference to what He said over what we desire or what the Satan deceive us to do. So this will happen if we care about Allah. So taqwa is the protection to our soul and body that is going to generate care about Allah and remembering and zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all times. This is what fasting does. This is what the fasting is supposed to do if the fasting is done appropriately. So a bunch of Yahud came to the Prophet, according to this narration, جَاءَ نَفْرٌ مِّنَ الْيَهُودِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَسَأَلَهُمْ فَسَأَلَهُ أَعْلَمُهُمْ عَنْ مَسَائِلٍ. Some of the Yahud came to the Prophet and asked him, the most knowledgeable among them asked some issues from the Prophet. فَكَانَ فِي مَسَأَلَهُ. Among those questions that he asked, he also posed this question that لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الصَّوْمَ bin nahar sarathina yawman. Why did Allah made fasting a farz, a wajib, a fariza for 30 days? Wa farza ala al-umam as-salifa akthar min dhalik. Whereas Allah made fasting wajib on the previous nations more than that. And according to this narration, the Prophet said, anna Adam لما أكل من الشجرة بقي في بطنه 30 يوما. When Adam ate from the fruit from the tree, it remained in his stomach for 30 days. ففرض الله على ذريته 30 يوما الجوع والعطش. So Allah made on his lineage a fariza to fast, for 30 days to, in other words, to which I'm paraphrasing all these, this and all future narrations in my own words. Allah made it a fariza on his lineage for 30 days to face the hunger and thirst. Made a fariza, the hunger and thirst. وَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُونَهُ تَفَضُّلْ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ آدَمْ فَفَرَضَ ففرض الله ذلك على أمتي ثم تلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله هذه الآية كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. So basically, when Adam ate from the tree, it remained in his stomach for 30 days. So Allah made it incumbent and compulsory and a duty on his lineage to fast for 30 days. And then the narration says, Prophet started to mention about about some of the khisal and attributes. أولها These are the khisal of fasting in the month of Ramadan. Awwaluha yadhubul haram min jasadihim. Min jasadihi. The first thing is that fasting removes the haram from the body. One of the ways that helps the human being to remove the haram stuff or components or haram food and ingredients that gather in the body is fasting. So, wasaniya yuqarribu min rahmatillah. It makes us close to the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالثَّالِثَ يَكُونُ قَدْ كَفَّرَ خَطِيئَةَ أَبِيهِ آدَمَ. This way a person covers up the mistake of his father Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَالرَّابِعَ يُهَوِّنُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ سَكَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ. Through the fasting, Allah makes the sakarat al-maut easy for us. Sakarat al-maut is the final time of the human life when the soul is taken out, and it is very painful time for those who don't have taqwa. So fasting is one of the factors that makes our final moments of life easy when the soul is taken out. And then, يُطْعِمُهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah makes him eat from the nice things of the paradise. So these are some of the benefits that we gain from fasting. And it is important to remember that fasting fasting is something which is, our scholars say, never have been a matter of shirk. As far as prayers goes, it is found in different religions, in different forms. As far as taxes and zakat goes, it is found in various religions in various forms. So different ibadat are found in various religions. The only ibadat our scholars say which was never subjected to shirk, that means no one ever associated partners with Allah in the matter of that ibadat, is the fasting. So that is a madhar of ikhlas towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every ibadat that we perform can be judged. When we do the ibadat, people can see us, you know, and they find out and they can know, paying taxes, giving charity, helping the poor, going for hajj. Everybody knows we are going, praying, we are standing up, a whole bunch of people can pass by and discover that we are praying. The only ibadat which no one knows until you tell it yourself is fasting. So this is really the mazhar of ikhlas of Allah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, according to this hadith from Rasulullah, according to this narration, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ هُوَ لَهُ غَيْرَ الصِّيَامِ. Every action of the son of Adam is for him. We pray that for ourselves, you know, it's not for Allah. Now, of course we do it qurbatan ilallah, but it is not considered to be for anyone else, it's considered to be for us, it returns back to us, it's for us. The only action that Allah considers it, the action that Allah considers it to be for His sake is fasting. غَيْرَ السِّيَامِ, other than fasting. هُوَ لِي, that belongs to me. وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, and I am the one who is going to reward for it. In other words. So, and some of the scholars, some of the urafa read this hadith al-Qudsi, this hadith of Rasulullah, you know, like asawmu li wa ana ujza bihi, with the sighatul majhul, in the passive form, not in the active form. And when you read the same hadith in the passive form, it means that fasting belongs to me and I will be the reward for it. So Allah Himself is the reward. That's why our scholars say that that the reward of fasting is nothing but Allah. For every worship, there is a reward mentioned. You pray, you get this much sawab. You give sadaqah, you get this much sawab. you know, whatever sawab is there, you know, some, every ibadah there's a sawab mentioned, but for fasting there's no sawab mentioned in Islam. You cannot find anywhere where you can find the sawab of fasting mentioned. Because it cannot be measured. The sawab of fasting is nothing but Allah Himself. So people who are fasting will benefit with the blessing of liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah Himself, which is the biggest of anything, any reward that can be imagined. So these are the basic nine things that we are abstaining from: eating and drinking, that's the first thing, sexual relationship, mujama'a and istimna', masturbating. These are all harams and invalidate the fast, and our youth and everybody must remember. And allowing the thick dust to enter into your throat. If you happen to be on a street and some vehicle is passing by, some bicycle, some motorcycle is passing by, there's a lot of dust, and you intentionally and knowingly do not shut your mouth, do not close your mouth, and it enters into your throat, your halq. Then of course your fast will be batil. And likewise, things that when we talked about eating and drinking, like even if you are taking a shower and you have a lot of steam inside the shower, and if you intentionally keep your mouth open and the steam of the bath enters into your halq, it will be considered that you are intentionally allowing the steam, which will melt into water drops in your mouth. It will be considered that you are intentionally allowing the steam to enter into your mouth, which is also part of akal and shurb, eating and drinking. It's part of that. Eating and drinking doesn't include the eatables and the drinkables. Eating and drinking phenomena includes anything that you can eat or drink, even if it is not an eatable thing. Even if it's not a drinkable thing. Let's suppose somebody starts eating soil, which is haram in Islam to eat soil. Isn't that right? That's also, of course, going to invalidate the fast. And not just invalidate the fast only, but it will cause the person to pay kafara as well, because now he's breaking the fast by through eating something that Allah says is haram to eat. So, khak, turbat, soil is paak, is tahir, it's not najis, but it's haram to eat. It's a whole different thing, something maybe being najis and tahir is a different issue, but eating the thing being halal or haram is a totally different issue. Something can be tahir and paak, but it's still haram to eat, like soil. So if you eat something which is haram, you have to pay triple penalties, 60 fastings, 31 without gap, and rest of the 29 can be with gaps, and second penalties, feeding 60 mu'min miskeen people who are more broke than faqir, and the third one is setting a slave free, which is no longer possible nowadays because Islam eradicated that thing, so you have to do istighfar, and plus the qada of the fast and plus the istighfar for breaking the fast with a haram. So the fourth thing is staying up till the time of the Fajr Azan on the condition and situation of janabat, without doing the ghusl or without doing the tayammun. If you happen to intentionally delay your ghusl and it is wajib on you to do the ghusl of janabat, but you intentionally delay it till the time becomes so short, then now all you can do is just tayammun. If you don't do, the time of Azan will arrive. Now it will be wajib on you to do the tayammum to start your fast. If you don't do tayammum, you cannot start your fast. And if you intentionally don't do tayammum, then of course you are intentionally losing your fast. Isn't that right? So we have to do the ghusl. We cannot delay doing the ghusl of janabat so long that we are unable to perform it. Or if somebody delays the ghusl of janabat and the time remains for the tayammum only, then he did a sin and he does tayammum and he starts the fast will be okay, but he is a sinner because he did not perform the ghusl of janabat that he could have done without delay. Intentional vomiting, if somebody intentionally vomits, unintentional is okay, intentional vomiting is going to make your fast batil, and unintentional is okay, but remember, when something comes out of your mouth into your throat, you have to throw it out. Let's suppose you are about to vomit unintentionally, and some parts of food came out into inside your mouth. From your throat, it came into your mouth. You cannot take it back into your throat. If you take it back, that will cause triple penalties, three penalties, plus the qada of the fast and plus the shifa. So you cannot take what comes out of your throat back into your throat. You have to throw it out. So imala, which is al-hikn bil ma'i', that means enema with the liquids, that's also haram. And the ninth one is giving the nisbat of a false thing towards Allah or the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam or the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa salatu wa salam. And according to al-ihtiyat al-wujubi, ihtiyat al-wajib, it also includes the Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha and all the prophets of God and all of their awsiyah and deputies. If somebody says, Hazrat Harun, who was the wasi of Hazrat Musa, has said this and this and this in his hadith, and he never said it. So this is a lie on Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. Now this fast is batil through a haram. He broke his fast through a haram thing, which is a tuhmat on Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. Now he has to pay triple penalties plus the qada and plus the istighfar. So we cannot say things about Quran. I think it is mentioned in Quran. And don't say like this, that it is there in Quran. If you don't know, just say, I don't know. If you don't know about something, yes, this is the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. If you are not reading the hadith, somebody else is reading a hadith in front of you, and which is wrong, which is fake, which is maj'ool, you know, and you say, yes. So you are certifying the wrong and the lie that he is saying. You are doing the haram. You are breaking your fast by saying yes. So if you are not supposed to say anything towards Allah or the Prophet or Ahlul Bayt or any of other prophets or any of their deputies and also not towards Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, unless and until you know that he or they have said that statement, you cannot relate it to any of them. This is a very common problem that some people do and end up breaking their fast and ending up with their penalties. This is the basic stuff. These are, we are abstaining from these muftarat, and that's how we are protecting our basic level, a very fundamental rock bottom level of fasting. But this is how keeping away from muftarat is not going to make sure our fast is now accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No way. Our fast becomes acceptable in the eyes of Allah when our psalm is Sawm Salihin. As our scholars say, Sawm Salihin is the fast where every part of body has a share in fasting. So we abstain from the haram of the eyes, haram of the ears, haram of the tongue, haram of the hands, haram of the feet, haram of the private parts, haram of the stomach. Every part of those seven parts of the human body, which are a'za'ut taklif, which are abwabun nar and a'za'ut taklif. There are seven parts of human body which are the doors to the hell. The hellfire has seven doors and the heaven has eight doors. Seven doors of the hellfire are here, right here in our body. Our first door towards the hellfire is the two eyes. Some people will be dropped into the hellfire because of the harams they committed with their eyes. That's the door through which they will enter the hell. Because they already entered the hell back then in the life of dunya through their eyes. So this is the door number one of hellfire among the abwabun nar, the eyes. The door number two, the ears. The door number three, two hands. Some people will go to hellfire because of the harams they did with their hands. So some people go to hellfire because they walked to places that Allah made haram. They didn't care. You know? So this is the door number five. Door number six is the tongue. And door number seven is the private parts. These are the seven doors of the hellfire. So we need to, these are the seven parts of the body where all the takalif and duties of Islam apply. So duty of Islam is not applying on things which are beyond your control, you know. So things which are in your control, that's where the duty applies. You cannot say, well, okay, now onwards I want my heartbeat to stop. That's beyond your control. It's not in your domain. That's the domain of Allah. Whether He wants your heart to keep on pumping or He wants your heart to stop, that's not your domain. And you're not liable about the heartbeat of your heart, because that's not part of your taklif shar'i. Isn't that right? So these are the only seven parts which I named in front of you, and that's what we need to abstain. And this is called Sawm al-Khas, the Sawm of Aware and Sawm al-Saliheen, where we abstain from the haram. That's why, and the hadith of our Urafa said, the hadith of Rasulullah, where he has said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as-sawmu junnatum min an-nar, Sawm is a shield from the hellfire. In other words, that hadith applies in this type of fasting where every part of our body has a share, and we abstain from the muharramat and from the fasting. I think it's the time of Adhan. So inshallah, we will discuss later on. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi t-tahirin.